State gets the win in this one at the Breslin, 76-61. Rod, this was another game, obviously, ref by Bo Borowski. You could tell by the amount of free throws and all the crazy stuff that went on in this one. But kind of a chippy game here.
That's putting it mildly. Look, I had said in the pregame that one of the things, you know, that there's a lot to question about Indiana, but one thing I don't question is that they're going to play hard and play tough, and they did. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful to say Michigan State matched it and surpassed it, which is what they had to do. It's what they hadn't been doing. And so they did the main thing that I needed to see to feel good about this. So it was that kind of game. And it was physical. And there were a lot of fouls called, some of which were unnecessary. Some of which were. This was not a game like we sometimes see where I come away from it thinking, oh, you know, this was just an endless parade to the free throw line. It wasn't merited. They called ticky-tack fouls. There were some bad calls. Most of them were probably earned. Mm-hmm. That was a very physical game. And I'm glad to say that because that's what Michigan State hadn't been doing.
Yeah.
And they came out with, I mean, look, A.J. Hogard gets tossed for two technicals. That second one, I don't get it. Unless he said something, and maybe he did say something because Mike Woodson went ballistic. But all he did that I could see, on anybody could see on television, is stand there clapping his hands. Mm-hmm. That's not really taunting, but whatever. AJ was running his mouth. Malik was running his mouth the whole game. But when I say that, I don't mean that pejoratively. I mean Michigan State was engaged.
Yeah.
They, in a way that we have not seen. And that makes a difference, you know?
Yeah.
They needed that.
It's interesting, too, because it brings me back to last year. It seemed like there was a time when they really, really were down and out. All of a sudden, Josh Langford came out and started getting, you know, Spartan dog type of behavior.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm seeing here. And I like it. You know, as long as it's not
cheap
shotting
too.
People or hurting people. Or you're absolutely. Just getting in their face and getting
absolutely.
In their head.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree. Yeah. It's what this team needed. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of what had been ailing them, I think, is a reflection of not being sufficiently engaged. Well, you couldn't accuse them of that today.
Yeah.
And when it's coming from a captain and Malik Hall, who I think is your best player now, and one of the two point guards. And actually, I thought Tyson Walker played much more aggressively than we've seen, especially in the second half.
Yeah.
For those guys, your two point guards and one of your captains, to be doing that, that's huge. That's what's needed.
And another big part of this game, I mean, there was a lot of free throws, but 89% for Michigan State, 25 for 28 at the free throw line.
Yeah, they were great.
Conversely,
they were great.
They were 59%, 16 for 27. So they had just as many opportunities, except for one. But that's a big deal. That's a 9-point difference.
Yeah, and it's something we didn't call out as a key to the game, but in retrospect should have. There is a big difference between these two teams. Indiana on the year, not as bad as they were today, but they're not good. Mm-hmm. They're well under 70% as a team, whereas Michigan State's been pretty solidly in the mid-70s all year long. So Michigan State a little better than they normally are, Indiana a little worse, made that gap bigger. But in a general sense, the fact that there was a gap is befitting the difference between the two teams in terms of how they shoot them. I think the big thing for MSU is how many they got, and they got them by virtue of being aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
By all the things we were just talking about. That's why, in part, that's why they got to shoot that many.
Yeah.
Because they played extremely hard. They played with force. They played with intent. And when you do that, generally speaking, you're going to draw fouls.
Mm-hmm.
Because you become hard to guard.
And so you look at the starter. We'll go through the starters in this one. Obviously, the first one is AJ starts this one rather than Walker, which he goes in 21 minutes, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists to 2 turnovers and a steal, 4 for 7 from the floor, 6
really,
for 7 from the line.
really, really good game. That free throw shooting's big, because that's not always been the case for him this year. To hit 6 of 7, that's big. Brilliant in the first half. Mm-hmm. He was the reason they were up 7 at the break. Fortunately or unfortunately, depending upon how you look at it, it was a game very similar to most of what we had seen until lately, when neither guy had been playing well. AJ was the guy in the first half, and then Tyson Walker was the guy in the second. AJ still played decently in the second. He wasn't bad, but he wasn't as impactful as he had been. Still, overall, I think starting him, you have no complaints.
And the one thing I thought maybe it was different about the game plan starting him is they pounded the paint a little bit harder in the first, at the beginning of this one. Bingham got a bunch of shots, didn't get all of them in, but he winds up with 5 points, 2 rebounds, 2 for 5. They went to him early, but
I think it was, I would suspect it's a couple things. One is just to establish that general Michigan State wants to have more of a paint presence than they've had throughout most of the season. And then the second thing is, if you can, as a side effect of that, if you can maybe get Trace Jackson Davis, Race Thompson, or both in a little bit of foul trouble, you really help yourself. Now, that didn't happen, but yeah, it was a strategic difference. It's something we haven't seen them do with this kind of intent very much this season.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see. I don't personally love it with Marcus, because I don't think that's his strength. Yeah. I'm not surprised that he had trouble finishing. That's just not who he is. He's a guy, I want him to get his points kind of in the flow of the game rather than, hey, we're going to you on the blocks. If you've got Marble in, okay. Uh-huh. And certainly Hall, they can play through that way. But whatever. I mean, it didn't work. I'm not surprised. I don't love it, but I get the intention.
And I think I'm at a turning point here with Marcus Bingham. If he's wide open, I think I'm okay with him taking those threes.
Well, he's been hot. I think he's, isn't he 7? I think he's 7 for 19 now.
Yeah.
On the year from three. So his 3-point percentage is now into the good category.
Yeah.
He hit that. You're talking about the first bucket of the game for MSU. Yeah. He had an open three. Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And that's what I mean by getting stuff from within the flow of the offense. That's where I like him better. Get him transition buckets, get him an offensive putback, get him a lob, you know, get him an open three. That's how I prefer. Even a jumper, even a face-up jumper, I'm okay with from him, as opposed to pure post plays. I just haven't seen it be very successful for most of the season.
Yeah.
You want to go down there once, okay. But 3-4 times, I don't think that's winning basketball. But
And then kind of a struggle for the wings in this one. Christie and Brown, they both combined 1 for 9 from the floor. Christie with 8, 3 and 2. Brown with 0, 3 and 1.
How many? What was Gabe Brown's
points?
Numbers? No, I know that. Oh, but how many rebounds?
3.
Okay, I thought he had more than that. Yeah, you know, Gabe took something he hasn't done very much this year, and it's hard for him to do because he's so long. It's hard for him to force a shot. Like, he's a guy who can take a good jumper when he's covered. That is possible for him. It was not the case today. I thought he was forcing things. The one thing I'll give Gabe, great play on that transition lob to Malik, and the right play for a guy who was struggling to score and is a scorer. That was good to see. But yeah, Gabe's, you know, he had that great game against Rutgers, and now we've had 2 in a row where he's kind of back down in the mire. He's going to have to fight his way out of it. When Max, you know, didn't hit shots, did a nice job at the 40 of 6 or 8 at the free throw line.
Max 6 for 6.
Yeah. So he did a little bit of work there. I thought both guys were good defensively though. But yeah, that was not where they went to for scoring today. That's for sure.
Yep. So the bench outscored the starters in this one.
Make too much of that.
Every
game now, it's up to graphics. Well, you need to understand what Michigan State is doing. their best player, arguably, I think inarguably now, is Malik Hall, right? between the two point guards, either one of those guys could have a bigger game offensively, game to game, you know. That's always possible. Marble can get you points off the bench, you know. So I, Jaden Akins can do some of that. So I don't, it's such an example of how little work and prep and understanding goes into this stuff on behalf of networks, because if they understood it, they wouldn't even bother flashing the stat. Or if they did, they would make a point of mentioning and getting to the reality here and say, well, you know, this number is skewed for Michigan State in ways it's not for other teams, because look at the minute distribution.
Yeah.
The fact is they've got a bunch of guys who are playing pretty much all the same number of minutes. So is it a surprise that the bench might outscore the starters in a given game? No, it shouldn't be.
Yeah, they actually, I think they got more minutes. They got more minutes than the starters overall.
Probably, yeah. Given that Gabe wasn't playing particularly well. They only had
13.
Right. Marble played maybe his best overall game of the year. I thought he was great.
Yeah.
In the forget the points. I mean, in the areas that he has not been good. He was really good today, but we'll get to him in a minute.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll just stick right with him. 9 rebounds.
That
may be the highest I've seen all year for him.
Yes, he rebounded like a man, and he defended his ass off. I mean, Trace Jackson Davis can score against anybody, and he did. But, you know, some of what Indiana does with him, as we talked about in the preview, I will never understand why they don't play through him more. How many shots from the floor did he have today? Like 13, 14?
Davis?
Yeah, Jackson Davis.
Yeah, 13 from the floor.
That's ridiculous. That guy should be up around 20 every game. That's that just for a team that struggles to score, I will never understand it. But I will say today, Julius Marble had something to do with that, because he fronted him. You know, Bainham didn't front him as aggressively because he doesn't have to. He's got that length. He can bother him playing from behind. Julius has to front him. It's the only way he could survive. And that's good news, potentially, as we've got these games coming up with Purdue and Illinois and even Ohio State.
Yeah.
If Julius Marble can give them more minutes like that, where he just works his ass off to front a big man, now it's a different challenge on a level still from what he had today when you're facing some of the size that teams like Purdue and Illinois can throw out there at you. But the principle is still there. If you confront that effectively, you can really limit what that player does in the post. You can at least force a team to have to go over the top of you, which then becomes dicier for them in a lot of ways. So that was really, really good stuff from Julius. I mean, I've been a critic for most of the last 2 years because I think those two areas, he just has not shown signs of being good enough. But today, he was, and then some. He was really good.
Yeah.
And I don't even care about the scoring. It's nice, but you defend, you rebound like that, you deserve to play. This was not a game where Marcus's minutes – I mean, he had foul trouble. That hurt him some. But this was not a game where I felt like his minutes were limited because of his conditioning or anything like that. It was just a little bit of foul trouble, and then Julius was really playing well.
Yeah. We'll get back to Malik here. 24 minutes, 18 points, 6 rebounds, an assist on only 9 attempts from the field. 4 for 9, 2 for 4 from 3, 8 for 8 from the line, a block.
Yeah. The shooting from the floor is a low mark for him because he shot really, really well this season. But it doesn't even begin to matter because the free throw attempts added to that are more reflective of what was going on. He was a hard man for Indiana to deal with. And he gave Michigan State an emotional fulcrum that they rallied around. You know, the fact that the only other time I've seen him even close to this was that game in Madison. You know, and that was another great game from him where he led Michigan State to a relatively easy win. Same thing in this game, but even more so, it was in front of the home crowd, and I think he was even more amped up. If he plays with that kind of fire, I keep saying this, there's an all Big Ten player there. If he plays with this kind of energy and emotion, forget it, he is.
That shot from behind the backboard was unbelievable.
Things like that, sometimes you get rewarded with things like that. You know, the basketball gods, so to speak, reward you when you're doing the things that your team needs you to do in other ways. And I think that was the case for him. I mean, it was a freaky shot, but
it's actually a shot that's like kind of in his wheelhouse, you know, sort of fading absolutely. Away really high absolutely. Arcing, like,
yeah,
not many yeah. guys could pull that off.
Right. Yeah. No, it was a great shot and just a great game for him. Yeah. I mean, all the way around, I thought he was good on defense. There were some segments where he was guarding Jackson Davis and he held his own, against Race Thompson. I thought he was really good. Mm-hmm.
Jaden Akins, 21 minutes, 4 points, 2 rebounds, a steal.
Yeah, that doesn't do justice to him either, man. He was, they highlighted it on the broadcast, which was good. That segment in the second half where his defense helped deny a post entry pass to Jackson Davis. And then he goes the other side of the floor and is there guarding Stewart on the catch. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't get an open look. And that guy, despite the fact he didn't play that well today, he's their best 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
I thought Jaden Akins was great today. And that was also part of the reason why, you know, Brown and Christie, they didn't have to ask as much of them because what did he play 21 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were going to him more. That's that. And cause he earned it. Mm-hmm. I mean, his defense, his energy, all of that. It's just, you could see it coming with that kid, man. It's a matter of time. It's not going to happen this year, but you know, next year, depending upon how the roster shakes out, I think he is a guy. I'm not going to say he could take the same leap that a Johnny Davis or a Keegan Murray has, but I think he could take a leap for sure.
Yeah,
He's got the elements.
The wing defense was outstanding. I mean, you look at Galloway, yep. 0 for 6, 1 point. Johnson, 7 points, 3 for 7. Kopp, 1 for 3 for 3 points. Yep. The only person that got anything really was Bates with 13 for 4 for 8.
Yep. Yeah. No, they were really good, and Jaden Akins was the best of the bunch today.
Yeah. And Tyson Walker, 15 points, 2 rebounds, no assists, but 5 for 10 from the floor, 3 for 6 from 3, 2 for 2 from the line, 2 steals.
No assists. I'm surprised. Yeah, okay. I won't belabor that, but this, God, I hope that we are able to look back and say that second half was a turning point for him, because he did some things in this game that I have been just praying to see and we haven't seen yet. I'll say the one big thing. There have been a lot of times this year where due to switching, he gets isolated on a big man.
Yeah.
And he very, very rarely has attacked that kind of mismatch. It's the kind of thing Cassius Winston made a living on. And Tyson has not, as we've talked about generally, has just not been nearly aggressive enough. Today, he was. Mm-hmm. That was aggressive basketball in the second half from him. It is exactly what Michigan State needs from him. And then you add to that, I thought he was the best he's been defensively in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, he was all over the place.
Yeah.
And just a pest. I just don't mean the steals. I mean, just generally, he was up in those guys.
Yep. Getting over all the screens.
Yep. It was such a great half from him. So you put he and Hogard together, where we have 29 points from the point guard position.
29
eight
points,
assists.
7 rebounds between them.
Yep. That is good stuff. Yeah. I'm excited about the way both of those guys played. Mm. But for Tyson, especially because it was an example of him doing things that we've been praying we were going to see, and we just haven't seen with any consistency. And at least for a half, he was the aggressive kind of player Michigan State needs him to be. They need him when he gets switched on an opposing five. Take him.
Yeah.
That guy can't guard you. And if you miss a jumper, okay, but take the jumper, you know, or take him to the rim if he's up on you. He did a little bit of that today, too. His first basket was that. He got isolated, I think, on Jackson Davis and took him to the hole and scored.
Yeah.
Those are the things that he needs to do. And if he misses a few shots here and there, who cares?
Yep. And then Pierre Brooks, 8 minutes, 1 point, 2 rebounds.
You know, I think the best thing you could say about Pierre Brooks today was that he didn't look out of place. Mm-hmm. You know, at either end, I thought he held his own defensively. I thought offensively, you know, he did make the one play, which I was really encouraged by, where he got to the line that he split the free throws, but that got him his point. And that was a play where they got him the ball on the wing, and he just took his defender into the middle of the lane and drew a foul. It's a mentality that Michigan State does not have enough of on their in their perimeter players right now. And I know that Pierre has that in him. I've seen him play enough. The other thing you like is he's got the body to do that. You know, I mean, he's a guy who's got that kind of Aaron Henry, Miles Bridges, kind of not exactly, but that kind of bulk on the wing, you know, very tough to defend. And he's got a good enough handle and good enough instincts and vision and understanding of the game that I think he can get himself into those spots. So that was really cool to see. And, you know, it's interesting. I talked a lot about this heading into the holidays, and I thought that might be the period that he could make his move. Well, that didn't happen, but it's happening now. They're going to him more frequently. He's consistently getting first half turns, and he's holding his own. So it's not going to go backward for him, at least not right now. I would expect the next game, expect to see Pierre Brooks at some point in the first half.
Yeah.
Because he's earning it.
And then I missed Joey. 16 minutes, 5 points, five rebounds, hit a three, got to the line.
Yeah, you know, not a hugely impactful game from him, but he did some nice things at times. You know, this is just you'd hope for a little more production, but you know, and obviously, especially in the second half, Malik just kind of took over. So you saw Joey less, but I'm okay with what Joey did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the keys. I lost my key sheet here. Wasn't the first one defense?
No. First one was energy.
Energy, yeah.
And we've talked about it quite a bit already, but I mean it's very, very obvious that Michigan State did respond in that area. You'd hope that they would have responded coming off the Rutgers butt kicking, and I think they were better in the second half in that way against Wisconsin, but not enough. Today was different because they, like in those two games, they were playing another team that was very, very motivated and was going to play hard and has guys who play physically and all that. And, you know, I said, MSU has to match or surpass these guys. And they did that. I thought Michigan State was quicker to loose balls than they've been. They were more competitive when a rebound went up, didn't always get them secured, but they were competing. Offensively, I thought they played with a lot more, well, that's going to be the third one, but a lot more purpose, you know. Screening was better. Motion was better. All of it, willingness to attack was better. Having that mindset, all of it was better.
So the second key, defensive rebounding.
Yeah, well, let's see. What were the numbers?
We got... I have 10 offensive rebounds for Indiana and 8 with MSU, but that doesn't count team offensive.
Yeah, well, I'll pull it up here in a second. So hopefully we'll get the full numbers here. But I did not think it was great. I thought they competed. It wasn't about that. Mm-hmm. It was, yeah, we do have the numbers. So let's see. So Indiana had 12 offensive rebounds on 39 shots. So it's going to be an okay percentage. Yeah, 30.7%. That's all right. Not great. Better than we've seen lately, though. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. And again, Indiana, not a great offensive rebounding team, as we talked about. But... I think they, as I think I mentioned in the preview, they do have guys who are capable offensively. You know, I'm looking at it. Jackson Davis had 3. Thompson had 3. Those are the two guys. You're not surprised they did that. Mm-hmm. You know, Indiana has not been great as a team, but those guys, you know, are capable any particular game of delivering.
And then purpose and was the third key. Yeah. That's more on the offensive end.
We do, you know, I think that the free throw attempt numbers are indicative of that for Michigan State. I think they played with much more intent, much harder, much more physically on offense.
Yeah. And then make shots. Michigan State, 43% from the floor on this one, 35 from three.
Yeah, you know, I will say this. I'm a little bit surprised. It's not that Michigan State shot horribly. They didn't. But I'm a little bit surprised that it didn't take a little better shooting effort from three in particular to get this kind of win. Mm-hmm. The free throws had a lot to do with that. You know, they got to the line so often to score 25 points at the line. You don't expect that coming in. So, you know, 3-point shooting was not the strength it's been normally, but it wasn't too far off. They were 35%, 7 for 20. They were okay. As you said, 43% overall from the floor, but that 89% at the line, I guess on high volume, I guess we'll count that as making shots.
Yeah. So, and when you hold them to 34 and 24 from 3-point.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, Michigan State's numbers look great compared to them.
Yeah. And look, they're a bad shooting team. So that's what you should do.
Yeah.
But yeah, welcome. Big sigh of relief that they actually did that. You know, it was Rutgers is a bad shooting team too. And we saw what happened there.
And then last key was point guards.
And plus.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think the job that those guys were able to do, you know, Tyson, the only critique I have, the 2 turnovers to no assists, but I didn't feel the offense when he was out there was stalling at all. You know, he was really good. And the team was good when he was out there, especially in the second half. And, you know, to get the 29 points plus 50% from the floor, 3 for 7 combined from three, 8 for 9 combined at the line, 6 boards. I mean, they did a lot of things well. Yeah. 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio between the two of them, 3 steals. Yeah. Both guys have a lot to feel good about.
Yeah. And that's important, especially when you make, I know the fans probably make a bigger deal out of this than the players, but when you make a switch like that in the starting lineup and both guys play good, hey, there's nothing
you can feel it work, right? Mm-hmm. You can feel, okay, that for one day at least, that move played out.
Yeah.
Because AJ started the game off well, had a great first half, and Tyson had a bucket in the first half, but wasn't as effective, and then came out in the second half and really got it going. Particularly when, I mean, Michigan State, when they delivered the final blow, that was when Tyson Walker was on the court. And Tyson Walker was out there making buckets. Mm. It kind of finally gave Indiana the Heisman.
All right. So a big win here. Stops the losing streak here. Next one up, Penn State on Tuesday.
Yeah. And, you know, road game, a team that isn't particularly talented, but they're at home. They play hard. They can make games kind of ugly. You don't take anything for granted, but, you know, and I'm not hung up on the Big Ten title stuff, as we talked about last time. I don't think you can be if you're Michigan State. You just need to be focusing on getting better every game. But I will say, some of what's happened around the conference, Purdue going into Ann Arbor and just getting wiped out, mm-hmm. which was an indictment of Purdue's defense as much as anything else. Wisconsin getting beaten by Rutgers, who, I know I was pretty flippant before that Rutgers game and saying, yeah, they're 6-5 or whatever they were in the league. But, you know, the net is so terrible. Their resume is not good. Well, they've just beaten Michigan State, Ohio State, and now Wisconsin in Madison in consecutive games.
Yes.
If they keep doing this, and I think they've still got more they got to do, but they could be a team that gets back into the tournament mix, and certainly Michigan is in that framework. And now if you're Indiana, you start feeling like you got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, you look at the standings, and you got Purdue sitting there with 4 losses, Michigan State with 4 losses, Wisconsin with 4, Ohio State, I believe, with 4 now, and Illinois with 3. But Illinois still got to come to East Lansing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just, I think you just take it game by game and just focus on getting better.
All right. Well, we'll leave it at that. Great win. We'll get the preview up for Penn State here in the next day or so. Until then, the Final Four is not on the schedule. Thank you.